What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Thursday, September 22nd, 2016. Sure happy it's Thursday. And before we go any further, I want to celebrate a little joyous occasion within our family. Our grandniece just popped out a brand new son just 2 hours ago, and we're all looking at the photos coming in, going, ooh, and ah, and all this other stuff. So it sort of rededicates me to the idea of leaving this next generation a better world than the one we are currently living in, which I think ought to be our top moral priority for every generation, is to leave the next generation a better world than was left to us. Sadly, our generation has kind of failed miserably on that one. Okay, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Now, a reporter in a Hillary affair, wasn't really a press conference, basically got up and publicly challenged Hillary Clinton to take a neurocognitive test and release the results to the public. And Hillary Clinton said, well, there's no need for that. And basically, from this point on, it looks like Hillary will not be releasing any more medical information. And we'll just see where that's going to go. But again, it reinforces the untrustworthiness issue, that she's got something that she is hiding and covering up. Now, over at the Congress, things are getting very tense. As you know, FBI Director Comey has been given a subpoena 2 days ago to produce all unredacted Clinton investigation documents. And it shouldn't be an issue. They've finished the report. Everything's already in the file boxes. It's not like they have to go through and sort any of it. And specifically, Congress asked for all unredacted copies of the interview notes with employees of Platte River Networks. What Comey turned over had redactions, specifically Combetta, who is now in the crosshairs because of posts that he made to Reddit, then tried to delete, seeking advice on how to erase VIP emails from an email archive, which shows intent. Now, the House Oversight Committee has ordered Reddit to go back into their archives, their backups, and preserve all these deleted posts written by Combetta. And apparently, according to Chairman Jason Chavitz, Reddit is now fully cooperating. Latest update, Reddit has been found in Fort Marcy Park, declared a suicide with 3 self-inflicted gunshots to the back of the head. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. Now, a federal judge has just ruled that the State Department must turn over hundreds of hidden documents before next Monday, which detail Hillary Clinton's security training during her time as Secretary of State. Now, at issue here is that Hillary testified to the FBI interview. Well, she wasn't even testifying. She wasn't under oath. Hillary told the FBI that she couldn't recall taking any classes about the proper care of classified documents. That was her version of the I didn't know any better excuse. And it was bogus from the start, because anybody who has been exposed to classified information knows you do not get your clearance and access to the documents until you complete the course. It's mandatory. It's not option. Now, if these documents, the federal judge has just demanded, confirm that Hillary Clinton and her aides did take those courses, then it means that Hillary was either lying to the FBI or her memory is totally shot, either of which means she's not qualified to be president. Now, as you know, Brian Pagliano, who has an immunity deal, was subpoenaed before the Congress. Now, when you have an immunity deal, you're not allowed to take the Fifth Amendment anymore. And Brian Pagliano simply didn't show up when he was subpoenaed. And now the House panel has voted to hold Brian Pagliano in contempt of Congress for simply refusing to show up and testify when he was supposed to. My question right now, has anybody seen Brian Pagliano alive recently? Because he seems to have vanished from the face of the earth. Maybe they're going to wind up chasing him down the San Diego freeway in a van like they did with OJ or something. Now, over at CNN, there is clearly division in the ranks over the handling of the Hillary and Trump campaigns. CNN's official editorial policy is get Trump at all costs. And Kellyanne is basically calling Aaron on all the lies. And it's a street brawl. And the real victim of all of this is, of course, the credibility of CNN. And right now, the numbers continue to show that public trust in the corporate media is at an all-time low. They're losing audience. They're losing ad revenues. They're committing suicide right on national television. All right, according to White House Watch, Trump is now at 44%, Clinton 39%, Johnson 8%, Stein 2%. We're going to take a second here to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network, and is usually the case in the first hour, we're talking about the ongoing political campaigns. Fox News is reporting that Trump is widening his lead over Hillary Clinton, and yet the Hillary Clinton campaign insists they've got polls showing that she is leading Donald Trump by 5% all across the country. And we know the corporate media that favor Hillary have been rigging their own polls. They call it adjusting the methodology. And one of the things they've been caught doing is oversampling Democrats 2-1 over Republicans, which isn't accurate. They're oversampling women, blacks, Hispanics. They're trying to generate numbers that make it look like Hillary is close to Donald Trump so she can steal the election. But more and more people are starting to call the corporate media on the very obvious fraud. Zero Hedge has an article, one of these polls is not like the other, basically showing how NBC is rigging their polls, which makes us all deplorable to point out that the corporate media is lying to us all. Remember earlier in the week we had this story about how Monmouth had raw data from their pollsters showing Donald Trump well in the lead, but after statistical adjustment and weighing and various other manipulations, came out and declared that Hillary was winning. They're just making this stuff up. There's no big skill to running a poll. Go on out, ask a cross-section of America who you're voting for, and that's what you report. But between targeted interviews, targeted polling, and statistical manipulation, they're creating this illusion that Hillary Clinton still has a lot of support. As of the last poll we ran at whatreallyhappened.com, Donald Trump was at 98%, Hillary 2%, I assume from the people that are being paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign to monitor all the bad things I say about her on my website and on my radio show. Hillary came out with this rant earlier, and she's changing her approach. She was literally out there on the verge of shouting. People are already making fun of it. There's a video we put up at whatreallyhappened.com. Somebody sent me this graphic saying that Hillary has gone full Baylock, and it's time for some Tranya, and you have to be my age to get the reference to the original Star Trek. And she ends by saying, "Why aren't I 50 points ahead?" And she's out there shouting in a voice so loud, even the birds are saying, "Who the heck is that?" And Donald Trump fired back the absolute perfect answer. "Why aren't you 50 points ahead? Because you're terrible." And that's really what it comes down to. We're going to take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I hate to jump to the Syria theater.
Actually, that's next on the talking points.
Do you have any reports of a caliber cruise missile strike by Russia on a structure in Aleppo killing intelligence officers from, like, U.S. and Israel and a couple other Gulf states?
Yes, and the corporate media isn't reporting on that because, the American people aren't supposed to know that Israel and the U.S. and Great Britain and all these things are actually there directing the ISIS battle for Aleppo. Israeli media is actually saying this is an act of war by Russia against Israel. And no, it isn't, because Israel doesn't have any business being in Syria.
But they got them, Mike. They got a lot of intelligence officers, including, ISIS and a lot of the terrorist intelligence people in that structure. I don't know how big the building was, but all three cruise missiles hit the structure.
It was a decapitation strike, and yes, basically they took out ISIS command structure. And that means for at least the next 2 to 3 days, ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Aleppo are operating without a chain of command. And this would be the time for Russia and Syria to move on in and mop the place up.
Yep. Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And Justin's timing was perfect because we're getting on to the war zones. People are talking about Russia's counter blow. And apparently the planners in Washington, D.C., thought that they could get away with blaming Russia and Syria for the humanitarian aid convoy destruction, and they would just back off and say, oh, we don't want to touch this. And instead, Russia and Syria went on the offensive, coming out with information indicating the U.S. story just doesn't make any sense. They've released photos of the remains of that aid convoy. There are no shell holes. There are no craters. Somebody set it on fire on the ground in order to create this distraction from the U.S. attack on the Syrian forces. So the U.S. can say, well, forget about our, that was a mistake when we bombed the Syrian forces, but here, that aid convoy, how could you do this? And Russia and Syria are just not sitting still for this. And the evidence continues to build that this was by the U.S. and its allies, again, to frame Russia, just like they were gassing the Syrian people and trying to frame Assad. It's become an all-too-common repeating pattern. And Russia just upped the ante by demanding a formal United Nations investigation into the attack on the humanitarian aid convoy. And because it was a UN convoy, I'm sure the UN is going to go on in there and take a close look at what's going on. Remember when the U.S. thought they could get the UN chemical weapons inspectors to support the claim that Assad was gassing his own people? And they went on in there, and there was this amazingly well-timed, convenient sarin gas attack right in front of the UN chemical weapons inspectors on the very day they arrived. And ultimately, the United Nations said, no, this wasn't Assad. This was the rebels. They did it to frame Assad for it. And that's another common feature of all the war propaganda throughout the years, that the leader of this country is a threat to his own civilians. I mean, our country is a threat to our civilians. But in the case of Syria, Iraq, Libya, this threat that the government was going to harm civilians was greatly exaggerated to convince us that we had a moral duty to go on in and save those poor people from that evil private public central bank that Muammar Gaddafi set up. So this thing is continuing to unwind. And again, Syria and Russia are saying, we had nothing to do with that humanitarian aid convoy. And you have to look at the motive or the absence of one. Remember what I said, to find out if you're being lied to, look for what should be there and isn't. Neither Syria nor Russia had any reason to hit the humanitarian aid convoy. They want supplies to get into the people of Aleppo. Because without those supplies, the people of Aleppo have to do what ISIS and Al-Qaeda tell them to do, just to eat the next meal. Now, obviously, since Washington, D.C. is supporting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they don't want the humanitarian aid to get through. And they needed that distraction from their attack on Syrian forces to try and flip the propaganda around and make Russia and Syria the bad guys. Story coming out of 21st Century Wire, U.S. NATO rebel coalition appear to have fabricated U.N. convoy evidence. I think this was a rush job. The U.S. realized it had stepped in a big pile of Al-Qaeda with the attack on the Syrian forces, and they needed something as a distraction. They just said, hit the aid convoy. And it was a rush job, and it was reckless and careless and poorly planned, and everybody sees what's going on here. Now, one of the issues that is surfacing is who within U.S. command structure actually gave the order to bomb the Syrian forces. And what it has revealed is there is a schism opening up between the administration, specifically the State Department, and the Pentagon. The Pentagon wants war. The more war there is, the more money they get, the more they get to loot the American people. They get to buy weapons and pin medals and things on themselves and look really, really important. And so there is word that is circulating around that the Pentagon went in and attacked the Syrian army without authorization of the chain of command, specifically the National Command Authority, meaning the president. And so we're seeing this schism open up where the U.S. government is beginning to factionalize and fracture badly. Now, Bashar al-Assad is countering the U.S. claims that this was an accident when the U.S. bombed the Syrian troops, pointing out that this attack lasted for an entire hour. Doesn't seem like a mistake when it goes on that long. And remember, Russia tried to call the coordination center to say, hey, you're attacking Syrian forces, not ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And the appropriate U.S. official was unavailable, was away from the phone. And now we realize he was away from the phone for an hour. That sounds like it's intentional as well. All right, we're going to grab a phone call. Keith in Montana, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hope you're having a good one over there, and you and Claire. Hey, I wanted to thank you for posting that UN human rights video. I don't know if you got to watch the entire thing or not.
Yeah, I watched most of it, not all of it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Yeah, when I was watching that, all I could think of was that Naomi Klein and her shock doctrine that's on YouTube there, outlining how the U.S. wars are. And this is the same premise. It's a denial of services, power, water, sewer, food. The same premise used in World War II and the Allied terror bombings to get a civilian population to capitulate. Same thing used in Chile, same thing used in the shock and awe in Iraq.
And you know what's amazing? It never works. I mean, when the Nazis tried to do that terror campaign against Great Britain with the V-1 buzz bomb and the V-2 ballistic missile, it hardened British resolve against the enemy. And why they continue to think that this is going to work, it just boggles the mind, because it hasn't worked.
Did you catch the part on the schooling and health care?
Refresh my memory.
Well, they were talking about interviewing all the different Syrians, and a majority of those, one thing I thought was interesting, when they tried to attach the number of Syrians as to which portion is Muslim and stuff like that, the Muslim clerks said 20.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, you just cut out there for a second.
Figures, it's our infrastructure.
Anyway, yes.
When I asked the Muslim cleric there about how many Muslims there were, he said 23 million. And when they asked the Orthodox Christians there how many there was there, and they said 23 million, it showed the diverse culture of how everyone was so interlinked over there. But the interesting thing is when they asked different people there what was their biggest gripe of the Assad government, one of the kids says, that he had to pay $50 tuition, like for his entire schooling. And then that human rights gal went on to say, it is just like Libya. They had free health care, free medical, mm-hmm. everything like mm-hmm. that. And this is the corporatization of another country, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Everything privatized, the people pay for everything, and the government's on the side of the corporations. That's fascism. That is fascism right there.
That's exactly what Naomi Klein had brought out in her video on the shock doctrine. And if anyone hasn't seen that after your show, they should probably go watch that, because it is a documented history of all the wars, how they led up, how Bechtel and all these big, huge corporations went in there to privatize the entire country, to soak those people into massive debt and, of course, at interest.
Oh, very much. And acquire the major assets. I mean, following that whole situation in Kosovo, General Wesley Clark wound up owning a huge chunk of the coal rights in the newly created Kosovo that had been carved off of Bosnia, I think it was. That's what it's all about, grabbing, you know, conquering a country, divvying up the assets, and everybody gets rich while ordinary people are dying. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say one other thing. One of my veteran friends that served three tours in Iraq over there outside of, what's that biggest area?
Okay, Keith, I'm going to have to put you on hold. Stay on the line. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest. Who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And hello, hi, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to continue with Keith in Montana. Keith, what you wanted to share one more story about a friend of yours who was a veteran.
Yeah, he certainly tours over there, and his main area of tour was Fallujah. We know what happened over there.
Yes.
But he said the main premise of his being over there was to guard oil lines. And then I asked him, well, what else you do? And he says, other than kill a bunch of civilians, he says his other job was to distribute the U.S. West propaganda into the school system there to westernize the Iraqis. And in thinking of that, I kept thinking of the same thing happened with Germany and the denazification of Germany. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, this was to take the pride, the culture, all the heritage away from the people, just as they're doing here, just as they're doing in other nations like that, you know, to build this one world government, you know. But yeah, I just thought I'd share that with
you. Yeah, no, was done to the Native American population, was done to the indigenous Hawaiians, the indigenous Tahitians. The policy is always, we're going to conquer the world and make them just like us. Which makes this new approach where we're going to pour a bunch of people into your country and you have to make your country look just like the one that they were running away from. It seems poorly conceived, and I think if it were not for the vast sums of money people like George Soros are pouring into this, it wouldn't have gone very far at all.
Yeah, can I add one more thing, Mike?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, demographically speaking, if you look up any country, and I'll use Russia and the United States as an example, Russia is 86% Christian. The United States is 71% Christian. Mm-hmm. The lifestyles of the Russians are no more different than those over here. And even you can get a laugh out of watching YouTube videos of, like, Russian car crashes and stuff like that. They even speak like Americans, you know, when they're...
Yes.
But what do you do to get people, namely so-called Christians, to go to war with one another? It's propaganda. And, of course, I always use a reference of who would Jesus bomb next, you know?
Yes.
But, demographically, I don't care if it's the Middle East or like that. There's straight people, gay people, whatever like that. We're all the same. It's just governments have to keep us fighting to vindicate their warfare, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, left to ourselves, people can get along just fine. Christian, Jewish, Muslim, gay, straight, black, white, pink, peach, taupe, mauve, plaid. People get along by themselves pretty much naturally. It is governments that fan up chaos and war in order to keep in control.
Yep, that's it. All right, my best to you and Claire, okay?
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Steve in California. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Did we lose Steve?
If you click on email, what really happened, it doesn't pull up any email address to say anything to you, but just let you know that. But I did come by a picture yesterday of Hillary Clinton. It's a recent picture, and it's really interesting in that it shows a very puffy-faced Hillary, almost like what we call moon face, what we see with Cushing's disease from the use of steroids, corticosteroids pertain, and mainly prednisone. And I just wanted to throw that picture by you and let you look at it. So I did a little research on it. Normally, prednisone is not used with Parkinson's disease, but there is some research out there showing that it maybe should be, and that it does mask and minimize the Parkinson's syndrome's symptomology. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the picture. My wife even looked at it, and she goes, she looks like she's been on steroids for a long time, that picture. The jawline, the cheekbone, very moon face, like steroids, like Cushing's disease. I said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? So just thought I'd throw that by you. Not that she has Cushing's, but... if they're using high doses of prednisone, and actually prednisone will cause rages in behavior. I've seen that.
Yeah, I read that in the contraindications. And
so if you're seeing that, it may be from high prednisone use right now.
But, you know, people are trying to figure out why Hillary is all of a sudden literally yelling at her supporters on video, and maybe she's having a pharmacological reaction.
Right.
Maybe they changed her medication and it's altered her personality.
Yeah. Well, in a hospital setting, I've given high doses right off the bat, 60, 70 milligrams a day, and it can turn you literally nuts. It really can. We tell people about, you know, it can change your personality. It can push your tempers. And I'm starting to see now that that video you showed, or at least RBN showed on their website, showed a very angry, hostile Hillary Clinton, and I started putting it together. I started to think maybe with the picture... maybe prednisone. Maybe they got her on some high doses of prednisone right now to kind of mask those Parkinson's disease symptoms.
Yeah, but it's creating new symptoms and everybody's noticing. Steve, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And the U.S. is still trying to act like they're in charge of the world. And the U.S. is now demanding a no-fly zone in Syria. Now, technically, we're not at war with Syria. Syria does not want the United States in there. They have not granted their permission for the United States to be carrying out military operations there. The Syrian Air Force and the Russian Air Force are close to erasing all of these U.S.-backed terrorist groups from Syria. And so the U.S. says, we want a no-fly zone to protect those humanitarian aid convoys, which the evidence is now showing wasn't struck from the air. And this may be in response to a comment that Russia made the other day that any aircraft threatening Syrian positions will be fired on, meaning the U.S., Great Britain, Australia, and Denmark. Putin is now out there vowing to protect Assad from U.S. dirty tricks. Talk about a Herculean task, given the history of the U.S. government and dirty tricks. It's all they seem to know how to do here. Now, there's a video we put up there on whatreallyhappened.com, the truth regarding Syria. It is not and never has been a civil war. It is a U.S. invasion. All of these wars are U.S. invasions. They're trying to convince you that this is humanitarian, that we're saving the people from an evil dictator, that the tyrant is using sarin on his own. They've got nuclear weapons they're going to use on us. And after all of the lies, I mean, only a moron is going to believe anything the U.S. government or the corporate media says from this point on. Have you not been lied to enough to where you're ready to say, I'm not listening anymore to anything any politician or any talking head on the media has to say? There are a few exceptions, obviously. Cynthia McKinney, Dr. Ron Paul, and Glenn Greenwald. We want to listen to him. But by and large, the corporate media is in lockstep, goose step, with the U.S. war machine. So what's going on in Syria? Are they getting rid of Assad? Is it really all over that pipeline that Assad refused to allow to be built across Syria so that Israel could steal the Golan oil and sell it to Europe? Obviously a major issue. But apparently, back in a Defense Intelligence Agency document from 2012, and it was declassified May of last year, basically says a major part of the agenda is to balkanize Syria. And I have mentioned many times before that what the U.S. wants to do is create a new independent Kurdistan, carving pieces out of Syria, Turkey, and Iraq to do it. The goal is to take the larger countries, more powerful countries in the Middle East, and break them into little tiny pieces so they can be bullied and pushed around by the United States and by Israel. That's the real agenda here. Now, the British Parliament has just issued a report by the House of Commons Foreign Affairs Committee that has interviewed all the key British decision makers, and they've basically admitted the war in Libya was based on lies. That Gaddafi was a cruel tyrant, that he was a threat to his own civilian population. Remember Waco? We know which government is a danger to their own population. And basically saying that, yeah, this is what the U.S. does. They'll make up a bunch of lies and try and goad a war. Now, over in Yemen, the Saudi airstrikes, acting as a proxy, again, for the United States, have killed 20 civilians, including children this time. That's the reality of what's going on. This is not a humanitarian mission. It's not an intervention to save a people from a cruel tyrant. What's going on in all of these countries is they have come to understand that what happened to their country was not a genuine internal revolution, but a coup d'etat from outside to install puppet rulers, and they do not want their puppet rulers. They want self-representation. They want to run their own countries for the benefit of their own people. There's nothing wrong with that unless you happen to be a U.S. war hawk and a private central banker who believe that all human activity should serve the greed of the money junkies. Over in Israel, troops have been photographed beating an unarmed Palestinian during what they called a routine check. And they're trying to justify saying that the man was resisting his arrest. Well, you know something? If I'm being kicked and beaten, I tend to resist too. That's really not a very good justification. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Karen in Maryland, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Okay. My question for you, whether or not we agree with this or have the same mindset about it, is about, do you know about, have you seen the new credit cards that have a chip embedded in them and have a special way to insert the chip credit cards in the credit card machines? Do you know what it is that I'm speaking
about? Yeah, I've seen them around here. I mean, Claire and I are basically weaning ourselves away from credit cards, and partly that's because I think it was about three Christmases ago, Claire had one of her credit cards that had what was called the contactless chip, looted and emptied by somebody wandering around the mall with a backpack. So these days we pay cash or we do without. We're working to get our credit card bills paid off completely. But the issue here is that all of these systems are there for the convenience of the bankers. And the reason for the plastic card is you can spend and spend and spend, and that physical card in your hand doesn't get any smaller. You don't have any kind of an intuitive feedback as to how much money you've spent or how much you have left. And that's just another way of goading you to borrow more money to support a banking system that is a Ponzi scheme. And it's very alarming to me that credit card companies will not allow you to have an old-fashioned magnetic stripe-only card. They've all got chips now. We had one of our credit card companies that sent us a notification. Our new cards will have the radio chips, and we wrote back and said, cancel our account.
Okay, well, my question is, if you haven't already answered it, you know, what in your opinion is the ulterior motive for the chip? Because there's the overt motivation, which makes the consumers bite and be interested, and then there's the ulterior motive. So if you haven't already said it, what do you, deem to be the ulterior motive for the chip-embedded credit card?
Well, the theory is that the chip is harder to tamper with than a magnetic stripe, which is true. But inevitably, every time they come out with another whiz-bang system to get you to go on and use that plastic card, the cyber criminals find a way around it. Now, the reason they've gone to a card that you have to physically insert into the card reader is to get away from that problem of the contactless cards being looted and plundered by, cyber criminals with backpacks and everything. But it's still the motive for the plastic is to get people to not use cash anymore, to have your money always in a bank. And we're hearing where they're already talking about banning all U.S. currency above the $10 denomination because they've got to find some way to force you to keep your wealth in their banks as the negative interest rates start to increase. And what they're trying to create is a world in which you have no control whatever on your wealth. It's in a bank somewhere where they can play with it. They can dip into it if they get into trouble. And if you go back and you look at the history of currency in this entire country, when this country started, the wealth was literally in your hand because the money in the United States was silver and gold that you could have in your hand. The paper notes were just claim checks for convenience. But once that silver dollar was in your hand, you had control of it. There wasn't anything the bankers or the government could do to change its value or manipulate it. And then ever since the creation of the Federal Reserve, they've been trying to push us away from a commodity-based money to this virtual make-believe fairy dust money that they do manipulate. And the most obvious sign of that manipulation is that a dollar today is worth less than 5 cents at the time of the creation of the Federal Reserve. And ultimately, they want to take away even the option for you to take your wealth out of their bank in some kind of portable, transportable means. And they claim it's to fight terrorism and drug dealing. But it's really all about locking your wealth in their banks so that they can play their games with it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think? Do you think Putin is going to draw his own line in the sand and say, they dare to put up a no-fly zone that Russians are going to challenge it, and they will open fire on American or NATO jets if that happens? Because, they're just going too far, and they're doing this, and I personally think at some point there's going to be a mutiny among American troops because it almost happened in 2012.
Well, it's kind of interesting because earlier in the week we put up this article about how the U.S. forces on the ground there have come to understand they're there to protect ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and that's not sitting very well. Now, Putin does not want war with the U.S., neither does China. They're trying to figure out a way to contain the U.S. aggressions without allowing it to turn into a hot war. The reality is that the U.S. can demand a no-fly zone over Syria, But if Syria says no, there really isn't much that the U.S. can do that doesn't amount to an outright invasion of Syria, saying, well, we're going to have a no-fly zone. Yeah, but at that point, the U.S. was openly invading and conquering Libya and going after Gaddafi. I think it would be very reckless and dangerous for the U.S. to do it, which doesn't mean they're not going to do it. But I think what Putin will probably do is go to the United Nations and challenge the legitimacy of a unilateral United States no-fly zone over somebody else's country, meaning Syria. And I don't think the United Nations, especially having just had their humanitarian aid convoy destroyed, is going to be very sympathetic to the U.S. point of view.
Yeah, but I think the U.S. might tell the U.N. where to go. See, because this is a lawless government. That's why I'm saying, at the final analysis, do you think Putin will use force himself to stop this?
I think the U.S. is going to be treading very lightly with the United Nations because Obama has dreams of being the general secretary.
Yeah, but, I personally don't think that in a local war, who would stay a local war, of course, that the U.S. military would have a chance against Russia today. Not the U.S., not the military the way it is today. It's demoralized. It's feminized.
The equipment is expensive, junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think, plus they're demoralized. And like you said, they know, these soldiers know what they're protecting. They're protecting the very people they're supposedly bombing, setting off bombs in the United States and Europe. So I don't see us having a chance. The Russian military at the same time today is much. The only thing is, I don't know, I keep hearing that Russia's in very, very bad financial straits. You probably know better than me whether that's really true or not.
Well, they're in much better financial condition than either the European Union or the United States right now, and that's because Putin took direct governmental control of their private central bank. It's still privately owned, but Russia manages that private central bank for the benefit of the nation and its people. And by the way, it was when Putin took over control of Russia's private central bank that Russia went from being our trusted friend and ally to the top of the U.S. government's special high-interest targets list.
Yeah, it does seem like every time somebody gets on the wrong side of the central banks, things go south. But, again,
bad things happen.
And it's not Iraq. And, I believe we're governed by madmen. And the question is the U.S. military at some point going to say, no, you're not going to misuse us like this? And even personally, I wish this had happened already a while ago. I wish the military would have marched into the White House, arrested Obama, and said, okay, this
we know that the military command structure has been purged over the last several years, in fact, going all the way back to George W. Bush, the military high command has been purged of anybody who might question an order to march him or herself and their troops into the jaws of death over in Russia. So at this point, I'd be willing to look at a military coup as a possible option because most of the rank-and-file military I know are strict constitutionalists. And
right.
It might actually come out better. Could be worse, but at least it would be different.
I don't think it would be that terrible at all. I mean, it's when you consider the state of the United States today. I mean, it's like in InfoWars, we're occupied by globalist forces,
and we're occupied by Israel.
Well, I guess you might be able to say by Israel too. Though I think Israel is just a small factor. I disagree.
I think Israel is one of the major cornerstones of this push for a global government. They're already talking about how when the New World Order is brought about, the capital of the world will be in Jerusalem.
Who has said that?
It's been in the Israeli media.
They even have
architectural drawings of the building that they're going to build.
Is that because they think the end times are coming or something, and Jerusalem would be the capital?
Just because Israel wants to be ruler of the world.
I mean, they can't really be serious. I mean, if they wouldn't, they wouldn't stand a chance. I mean, they're still a very small country.
They, They are. I mean, look how many people are serious about a global government, and they're supporting it because they think it gives them a chance to park their butt on that golden throne of imperial Earth. But we know that the New World Order is going to be a big fight. Where's the capital of world government going to be? And, you know, Brussels wants it there. The U.S. wants it inside the U.S. But Israel is openly talking about that when the one world government is brought about, that they think the capital of the planet should be in Jerusalem.
Well, I'll say this to the New World Order. You're not going to get your way. We, the American people, and the Russians, too, will take you down. We will take you down one way or the other.
The Russians and the Chinese are very much opposed to this idea of surrendering their sovereignty to a one-world government. I mean, did you listen to Obama's last speech to the U.N.? He came on out and said, we have to surrender our sovereignty and join the new world order. They're crazy, all of these people. Anyway, listen, Mark, I got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And We're going to take a couple of phone calls, and then I want to get on to what's going on over in Charlotte, because I'm beginning to smell a big, fat USDA choice rat is going on down there. So, Mateus in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Regarding Angry Hillary, I used to be addicted to alcohol and cigarettes a long time ago, and if I would indulge in the addiction and then sober up the next day, that's how I would act. Just like Angry Hillary for no reason, just kind of. So I think she's addicted for too long to power, to money, to assassination, to bloodlust, to power lust, her drugs. I think that's what's going on.
Well, now, let me back up here. Let me back up here a little bit. Let me back up here a little bit. Any kind of drug or intoxicant tends to give you more of what's already inside you. And I'll give you a good example. Claire and I enjoy a little alcohol every once in a while, and Claire tends to get depressed, and I go exactly the opposite way. The more I drink, the worse the jokes get. So I don't think that that's really an absolute, but you're absolutely right. She's addicted to money. She's addicted to power. And those kind of addicts, when they don't get what they want, yes, they react violently.
Yeah, right. And if I could please go on to self-driving cars, I thought about your feedback. You said that it's probably going to be like a flash in the pan, that the people are not really going to want it. And I agree with you, but I think they're going to force it down our throats the same way that they did the fluorescent mercury light bulbs and the vaccines. They're just going to force it. And if I could just please just quickly go through my list of self-driving cars.
Hang on, before you go any further, the fluorescent mercury-loaded bulbs are already fading away in favor of the LED bulbs.
True.
Okay.
I definitely hope you're right that the self-driving cars are not going to take over. Can I go through my list here, and then you can just cut me off when you get bored, or just comment
just
at the end of
it? Just real quick, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, so the cars are hackable. They can decide to kill you if it's going to save some other people. There's no pride of ownership, there's no self-expression, there's no personalization. All the industries, retail industries associated with auto detailing and personalization are gone. 100 million human-controlled vehicles represents the balance of power in the hands of the public. You know, we can use those, it represents our freedom of movement. We can protest government with that power. Our next generation is going to never know how to drive. The Egyptian ritual of binding the feet of the Pharaoh Queen reminds me of nobody knowing how to drive. The loss of jobs, like forget about mechanic jobs. You're not going to fix your own car.
Well, we're already at that part. We're already there. Cars are not designed to be repaired by their owners anymore in order to stimulate the repair industry. As far as people not knowing how to drive, I understand that may seem like a real loss, but how many of you out there know how to drive a horse-drawn wagon at this point? I mean, I did when I was a kid on the farm.
Pull you over. You're going to pull yourself over for the police.
Okay,
in fact,
Mateus, we're out of time. Going to have to let you go. Got to take a break for our top of the hour station identification. Back with more phone calls after these words.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.